You know, I've had several chances to testify for the last 2 weeks since that plane fell at the campground. Everybody took notice of that. And today I was in Otasco store, run down to get a fuse, and the manager down here said, tell me about your church. He said, just what is apostolic? Well, didn't that open my door? Amen. Just, you know, it's strange how sensible people can be and how dumb they are. Just about anybody ought to know what the word apostolic or apostolic means. But there's a lot of people don't know. Just to be like the apostles who were like Christ. Be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. But that's all right. Gives you a chance to testify. And then he said, are you the only church in the world like that? Well, sometimes I think we are. No, I said, there's a bunch of us. All of our churches do not always go by the same name as far as the local. We have, I said, I work with an organization called United Pentecostal. That's not the only group, however. Many of the churches, some may say Life Tabernacle, Full Gospel Temple, Lighthouse for Jesus, a lot of names. And we just chose Apostolic Church temporarily because when we go home, we're going to leave that sign out there. And we're not building buildings to worship, though we appreciate it, just as Sister Rogers testified, but this is not our goal. I could get just as good a blessing under a shade tree as I can in here. I have done it. Storefront building, it really doesn't make any difference. And I'll tell you something else. Hungry people will leave a cathedral to go to a storefront building to feel the power of God. Glory. Let's thank God for His goodness. I want you to look to little John, three-eyed John, third John. I've never forgotten a man in Missouri, Brother Reddings. He used to preach and he'd talk about one-eyed, two-eyed, and three-eyed John. So we're talking about three-eyed John tonight. Second verse. And I want us to just sort of have a little Bible study here tonight. I want you to participate, if you will. Amen. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. I've heard that quoted a lot of times. I've read a lot of articles about it. And most people seem to me like are not looking at it right. And let's read it again. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. Now, here's the way that I hear people generally quote this. Many of the healing-type ministers that you hear on the radio and so forth, they'll constantly, I'm talking about like Alan Waz, Reverend Ike and those type preachers that'll refer to this very verse of Scripture here, and they make it sound like it's God saying, I wish that you would prosper in health, even as your soul prospers. Now, if God would that we would prosper in health and otherwise, then certainly God can do something about it. Now, this is the word of John. Let's just read it. The first verse. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Then he said the verse that I just read to you two times. The third verse. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, this is the way his soul was prospering. walking in the truth. Gaius being, as John called him, his child. And he was walking in the truth. And John said, I greatly rejoice when the news came to me that you are walking in the truth. And because I heard this news about your joy and your walking in the truth of God, I wish that your soul, that you prosper and in health, that you prosper in health and that you prosper, period, even as your soul prospers. Now, I'm saying that it seems to me that people get things backwards. They get the cart before the horse. Many people want healings and blessings and prosperity. Better jobs. Let me say this. There are some folks that I could not conscientiously pray for them to get a better job to make more money, because their spiritual status does not qualify them even to my thinking. You say, that's strange. I know what happens when some people get prosperous. They forget the house of God. I could call family names who, when they were struggling and had nothing, they were faithful to go to church. Now, I don't mean necessarily they were faithful to God. Sometimes when temptation presents itself with the opportunity, it reveals exactly what you're made of, exactly where your heart's been all the time. Have you heard the story about the black folks that were having church all summer long and they couldn't get them to chop cotton or work in the fields at all? They were going to the revival meeting and they just shouted and sang all night long and then sleep all morning. And finally they said, we'll scare them out of the church and then maybe we can get them back into the fields to work. So someone dressed up like the devil. And they went to this black church where they were singing and shouting and praising God and neglecting their work. And when the devil came in, pitchfork and all, preacher was the first one to go out of window. Deacons went out windows. Folks run out the back door. Everybody left the building excepting one old lady in a wheelchair. And she rolled that thing around. She said, come here, Mr. Devil. Said, I want to have a talk with you. Said, I've been testifying for 30 years that I love Jesus. But deep down in my heart, I've been on your side all the time. Now, sometimes time will tell off on what's really been in our heart all along. John says in one of the epistles that they went out from us. And we could say the same thing. Some have gone. Where are they tonight? And then he tells us why. They were not 100%. A little black girl in Little Rock sung 99.5% won't do. It takes 100. Lord, I'm trying. I'm trying to make 100 because 99.5 won't do. I could tell you a family that when they were driving a rattletrap car and they could hardly buy gas for it, and they were having such a struggle raising their children. And they went to church every time the church house doors were open. They not only attended their home church, they attended the fellowship meetings and the rallies and a revival meeting. If there was one anywhere, they were going to church somewhere nearly every night. And then I saw a little prosperity come to the same home. Not wealthy folks, even now, but able to drive a new car. Able to own a home, able to take vacation, able to have a camper and a boat and the things sometimes that we call luxury items. These things in themselves are not sin. It is not wrong for you to be happy. It's not a sin for you to have a little set aside. It's not wrong for you to have a deep freeze. I hope you have. These truckers keep striking. I may call on you. Amen. I tell you that we're living in a day of problems and trouble. And this thing is serious. It's more serious than driving up to the gas station and seeing the out written on the pumps. It's serious. Food shortage is going to be right around the corner if this thing is not settled. But As I stand here, I'm not praying for poverty. I'm not praying for hardships. I'm just praying for us to get our heads screwed on right, that we'll put things where they belong, that we'll seek God first and His righteousness. And that's what Gaius was doing. Praise God. Before, evidently, his health was not too good. Or I see no reason John should have said this. His health might not have been up to par. He might have been struggling financially. It's not always a curse when you are poor. The poor shall have the gospel preached unto them. Sometimes the curse can be rich in being rich or having many things. And then riches lead to other temptations. But this man Gaius walked in the truth and served God in the truth. And then his apparent father in the gospel said, "Oh, I beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health." Amen. But he goes on to the next verse to make it very plain that this man was a follower of the truth. And before I can really say that I want someone to prosper and be in health, and listen to me, constantly we have prayer requests. Pray for Tom, pray for Dick, pray for Harry, pray for this one, pray for that one. And I don't want to be unmerciful. I don't want to be unmerciful. But you may pray for them to get a better job, and you may pray for them to be healed. When they don't want to serve God, you may be doing them an injustice.
All right.
Amen, amen, amen. I don't want my loved ones to be sick. My uncle has had a heart attack. Omer, that comes here a year or so ago, he had a heart attack. My uncle has never served God. I've never known him to be in an altar. I heard him say that if he ever is anything, he's going to be Pentecostal. He comes to Sunday school here when he visits. He'll drop a $100 bill in the offering. That's good. And he sends a lot of money to false prophets. That's not so good. And But nevertheless, he's never, to my knowledge, ever been in an altar to know God. Well, he's 60-something year old. It's high time he better start praying.
Praise God.
Now, I could say, I want you to pray for my uncle. He had a heart attack. And I guess maybe I did. But deep down in my heart, I'm thinking, Uncle, you need the Holy Ghost more than you need a sound body.
Praise
God. Praise God. And a lot of other people in the same category. You take, and this is not to hurt any feelings. Please don't. I've used my uncle. I'll use my kids. I'll use you if I want to. But we've prayed for Mr. McCall. He's a very sick man. And if he doesn't get better, he's going to leave here pretty soon. But the greatest need in that family is not the need of Mr. McCall finding health for his body. The greatest need is for them to understand how to be born again. If we get as concerned about our neighbors and our friends who don't know the truth, of them knowing the truth as we are when they're sick, why, I visited Margaret Ashcalf, of course, in the hospital. These girls, she and Betty Studdard, their maiden names, have come to Dewdrop when they were just young teenagers when I was there. Charles, of course, played ball. Charles Ashcraft played ball with our men and all that. That's good. I'm not belittling any of that. And they called and wanted me to come and anoint her before she went into surgery. And I did. And I prayed. But I also prayed that this ordeal will help lead them to the church. Because if she loses 100 pounds and gets good health, unless you live for God, you haven't gained anything. The world who is prospering without living for God is not accomplishing anything.
Right.
Man with a high job, I used to look at it a little different. When I was young and struggling and had nothing and old cars that couldn't hardly drive and always wondering where the next dollar was coming from, and then I'd see some of the fellows I went to school with, and I'd see them with high jobs and high-paying jobs and driving good cars and wearing fine clothes, and it seemed like they were the blessed one. I look back now, and I always was the blessed one. Praise God. It doesn't make any difference if it's a Model A or an old car or an old suit or overalls. What really counts if you've got God in your life. But I believe that John spoke the sentiments of God, when he said, I hear that you walk in the truth, and now I pray that you prosper, and that you also prosper in health. Praise God. Now, if we would seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, now, in all phases of our life, put God first. You know, I see this reflected. I'll talk to the young people now. Larry's here. Buddy's not here tonight. We got Linda here and the rest of the girls that I don't always get mixed up on. We're glad y'all are here. But I'll start with the young folks. We'll start with Regina and Ricky. Fine-looking couple. They are. They look... Nothing wrong with their looks. And they behave themselves. As far as I know, they just absolutely behave themselves. I've admired Regina for coming down on the front seat with her horn and leaving old Ricky sitting back there patiently waiting till she gets through tooting. And then she goes back and sits by him. I see nothing wrong. I'm all compliments. That's all fine and dandy. Amen. But I want to remind you, Ricky, that you've got to always love God more than you love Gina. Same applies to you, Regina. You've got to love God. You've got to put Him first. And the same would apply. Now, sometimes, Larry, the decision's got to be made on Saturday night. What do you really love the most? I wish old Buddy is here. All right? But it don't stop with them and their girlfriends and boyfriends. I'm not picking on them. The same applies to some of you with your fun and your thrills and your picnicking and your fishing and your boating and your playing. What do you love the best? What do you love the best? Get together with two or three families and party and maybe play cards, which I don't believe in, or do some of that foolishness, or you'd rather be in the house of God? It's a little quiet around here tonight. It's Wednesday night. Everybody come in with a droop, I reckon, or something. But would you rather be in the house of God on Wednesday night? Or is that on front line? Or set down front line. Or running yo-yo. Or watching TV. Or playing rum. Is that what you call it? What else can I think of? Did I hear someone say, my Lord? Honestly, folks, if we want to prosper, if we want God to help us prosper, if we want God to extend health to us, if we want God to put His blessings upon our prosperity, some people prosper, it seems like, financially without even praising God at all or living for God. I don't quite understand that. I'm like David. I don't quite understand that. And like the writer of the song, Father alone will understand it. But as a child of God, I'm saying if I want God to bless my prosperity, I've got to love the truth. I get it from 1 John 3. Praise God. I can't expect anything but to be slapped down if I don't love Him and walk in the truth. If I neglect doing what I know to do, I can't expect anything but trouble from God. I'll tell you something, it's bad to get in trouble with Dad. Tonight, before church, I knew Joy was wanting to go so bad down the faith with Russell. And she didn't have the nerve to ask, and Russell didn't have the nerve to ask. I hear him whispering around. And finally I said to Pidge, I said, well, we're going to have to give her up anyhow. It's just a month now. A month today. And so I said, tell her if you want to go on down there tonight with Russell and help out with the music. So I guess she told her. After a while, he came out and he said, I want to thank you for letting Joy go with me tonight. And after a while, she come by and she said, Dad, I thank you for letting me go down there tonight with Russell. Well, I was getting tired of hearing all that. And after a while, she come back again and said, Dad, I want to thank you again for letting me go. I said, you better shut up or I'm going to change my mind. Don't rub it in. It's hard enough to do anyhow, see. Russell hadn't quite understood me yet on that. He looked at me kind of sharp, you know. But really, folks, we are obligated to the house of God.
Right.
We are obligated to the Holy Ghost.
Right.
We are obligated to serve.
Right.
I've got to serve the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not necessary to be in the house of God every time the church house doors are open. There's times that I understand. I guess even God understands. Unless you're doing something that's so frivolous and cheap and silly and making excuses not to be in the house of God. Somebody told me some time ago that some folks didn't show up for church on the weekend, and they had their camper on a lake, and they went over to see if they were sick or something. And he said, "Why didn't you know?" I said, "No, what?" I said, "Well, we're on vacation." I said, "We've been on vacation for 2 weeks, so we just stayed out here." Vacation or no vacation, you ought to go to the house of God.
Right.
Hallelujah! If you're close enough to drive in, you ought to be here.
Right.
And if you're in Timbuktu, you ought to find a church there and go to the house of God when it comes church time. Because it's more important to be in church than it is to do anything else in this world. Take the vacation, take the fishing boat, take everything like that if you have to, but don't take my right to worship God away from me. Hallelujah. So you want to prosper. The fellow with the whiskey store seems to prosper, and he's never known God. And there you see a little picture of the mercy of God. But Howard, you can't run a whiskey store and prosper. You just run into trouble with God. And the church, even your pastor, would not pray for you if you were doing that. Not for the business. I'd pray for you, but not for the business. There was a man in Camden several years ago. Brother Holliday, when he was pastor there, passed by a whiskey store in a Sunday school invite program. And he felt on his heart, "I've never asked that man to Sunday school. I believe I will." It takes a little nerve to walk into a whiskey store to invite someone to church. I did it once to Jesse James in Dewdrop, and he said, "I've been here 14 years. That's been 17 or 18 years ago now. He said, "I've been here 14 years. You're the first preacher that's ever invited me to church." He didn't come, but nevertheless, I invited him. Brother Holliday went in and talked to this man about church, and he said, "I'll be there, preacher, Sunday." And he came. His mother came with him. She received the Holy Ghost immediately, baptized in Jesus' name. His wife received the Holy Ghost. Then on a Sunday morning, these people owned 5 whiskey stores. On a Sunday morning, the father of this man, who was the real owner, he came into the church trembling and crying. He started to the altar, and then he turned and walked outside. Mary Lou, you probably know these folks, Robinsons. He turned and walked outside to go home to take a heart attack, or some illness, I believe a heart attack, and leave this world. In the meantime, his son did come to the altar, receive the Holy Ghost, was soon baptized in Jesus' name, and inherited 5 whiskey stores. Boy, he had a problem, didn't he? And with like all businesses, with a big overhead over, owing money, and what do you do? And they prayed. The church just went together and prayed. And God delivered him from them things. Someone relieved him of these whiskey stores. They'd taken them from... Bought him out immediately. Of course, the radical would say, "Well, take your shotgun and shoot every one of those bitches. You owe some bills, too." Like I heard someone say about TV, said, "Well, set it on a post and get you a shotgun and shoot it." Now, that's a little bit stupid. Put it in a rummage sale if nothing else. That's not going to get rid of the devil anymore than stomping him on the parking lot. That's right. It's not the TV. It's not the boat. Hear me. I said it. It's not the TV. It's not the boat. It's not the ring on your finger.
That's it.
No, sir. It's where your heart is.
Amen. Glory.
Amen. It's where your heart is.
Come on.
Where your mind is.
Praise
what you're interested in.
Good.
What are you interested in tonight?
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
I won't go to church if it feels good. Forget it. If you're just coming for the feeling, you're shallow. Right. But if you'll serve God, you'll feel it. If you're coming to be prosperous, forget it. But walk in truth and God will prosper you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're coming for healing only, forget it. But if you're coming to walk in truth, God will heal you. He is a healer. I get to thinking about how much God loves us, Brother Paul. And he said that he knows every sparrow that falls to the ground. A little old bird that's not worth anything. A meanest, actually. Get your chicken feed. Messes on your car. You was thinking, I might as well told you. You don't like him. And yet the Bible says that God is mindful of the sparrow. He knows every one of them. And he knows when it falls. And he cares for it. Praise God. Now what I'm really saying is, the next verse says, how much more does your heavenly Father care for you? If he loves the sparrow and he cares for you, how much more does he care for you? Now how come we're not being blessed? How come we're not being healed? How come we're not shouting the odds? How come we're not talking in tongues more than we have been? How long has it been since you've seen a real old-fashioned shout in the apostolic church? What would it take to move? Answer me in your mind. What would it take to move you off of that seat tonight? Amen. What would it take to get you prized up over the seat and to hear you praising God and loving God with all your heart? Sometimes we're not a step ahead of the Baptists. They sing. And without the Holy Ghost, they sing better than we do. Without we use the Holy Ghost, I'm talking about. Just about everybody's got us outdone. They got better buildings. They got better sound system. They got bigger organs. We give a couple $1,000s for our organ. They give $40,000 and $50,000 and $60,000 for theirs. We give, Brenda and Jerry gave us this piano. I had never announced that, but we kept it so long, they finally just gave it to us. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Hallelujah. But they pay $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 for their piano. They build more. They take more to build a steeple on their church than we build for whole church houses in many cases. Praise God. But I'm going to tell you, folks, when you serve God in truth and you begin to sing in the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, hallelujah. I was listening to a tape the other day, and Gary was leading, and Gary's edumacated. I mean, he knows better. We were saying he wrote my name. Got to the chorus, he just took the alto part. He wrote my name. He got away down low, but he kept singing anyhow. But he knows better than that. But he wasn't trying to sing pretty. He was just singing for the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 But first of all, serve Him in truth.
Right.
Walk in the truth. Baptism, Jesus saying, yeah, but that's just a little bit of it. That's just the beginning. Praise God. Walk in the truth. Walk in the beauty of holiness. Serve Him with all your heart. Preach your fellow men right. Respect the cause of God. Put the church first. Walk in the truth. Hallelujah. And then what's going to happen? You're going to be blessed. Hallelujah. I'd just like to write you a letter if I was away and say, oh, Brother Jackson, I hear how you're continuing in the truth. It just does my heart good when I hear the reports that some of the brethren came by and told me that you're walking in the truth. And now that I hear such good news about you, I just pray God that He'll bless you in your radio business and you'll make more money than you ever have. And I pray that your health will be good and that you'll just be blessed in health. This is exactly what John is saying to Gaius. Praise God. But if the news comes, Jackson's not doing so good, He's spending more time on the job than he is in the church. Jackson's not doing so good. He seems to be more interested in automobiles and boats and trailers and campers than he is in the church. And then I couldn't say, I pray that you prosper. I might say, God, take some of that stuff away from him that he might know how to serve you. Praise God. But if you live for God, your pastor and your minister friends and your brothers and your sisters, hallelujah, it's not hard for me to pray for Brother Greenway and say, God bless Brother Greenway with a better job that he might have a better car because he's faithful. And when he's not here, he weeps about it because he can't be in the house of God. So I can easily say, God prosper Brother Greenway. Hallelujah. And the same would apply to many of you. But to some of you who call in and say, pray for me, I'm not feeling so well. Deep down in my heart, I know why you're not feeling well sometimes. Because you neglect the house of God. You neglect the Sunday school. You neglect the prayer meetings. You neglect worshiping God. You haven't testified in a month of Sundays. Oh, God! Oh, God! Oh, God! Can I pray for you to prosper when you won't testify? Can I pray for you to be healthy when you won't praise God? Can I pray for you to have anything of this material goods when you won't stand and glorify and praise God? Am I being wrong to say it? I can't pray for you to have new cars and new homes and be healthy and enjoy life when I can't get you around the altar to pray with souls and seek God and behalf of souls that need God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, pet yourself if you want to. Pet yourself if you want to and say, but John said, I would that you'd prosper and be in health. But don't forget, honey, he said, as your soul also prosper. You just don't qualify for those blessings unless you get the real blessings of God in your life. Let's stand and love God, will you? Love God. Love God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to tell you a happening. This is not for gossip's sake, but with concern. Brother Shields' nephew, our grandson, Brother Shields' grandson, Andrew Fry, very talented. He's been here, very talented young man. And I saw it begin to happen. Now, he's still not professing to be backslidden, so don't say that I said the wrong thing. But I saw things begin to happen in his life. I noticed how bossy he got when he was playing the musical instruments, bawling the other musicians out. That's not right. That's not right. Leadership is fine, but you just don't boss people around. I saw him when he never went down around the altar to pray, but spent all of his time playing the instruments. As much as I appreciate good musicians, there's nothing takes the place of prayer. We can do without the music during an altar service, but we can't do without prayer. Praise God. But then, very talented, and his talent, when he began to grow dim in the church, his talent led him into another field. And he began to play dinner music for a fee. And now then he's wrapped up in literally a nightclub to such an extent that it's caused all kinds of trouble in Brother Shields' church. And Brother Shields has had to ask Andrew, now, Andrew, while you're in this establishment, I'm going to have to ask you not to play the instruments in church. Isn't that sad? It'd be better if that boy couldn't even plump a tune. Now, this will add to his disgrace, no doubt. He'll probably say, now what's the use? Even Granddad has turned against me. That's not true. There's other souls at stake. You say, well, what would be wrong for him to play? Well, there may be some that's worse than that plays sometimes. I admit that. But for the good of Andrew, he's got to learn that there's the world is on one side and the church is on the other. And he'd be better off not having that job. And if I had a job that was hurting the church, I'd quit the job.
Praise God. Wouldn't you?
Hallelujah.
If I was wearing clothes that's hurting the church, I'd change type clothes.
All right.
Nobody had to tell me, just inform me. Just somehow let me know that I was hurting the cause of God. If I was going places and doing things that was hurting the church, forget heaven or hell. I'm not serving God just because of heaven and hell. That's shallow to think like that. I want to please God. I want to help the church. I want to worship God. I want to appreciate my brothers and my sisters.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I want to live to where you can say, God,
can you see it? Can't get them high enough. I saw Brother Rutledge's shoes. Now, I've got some more. Couldn't find them.
I pray that God will make him prosperous enough that he can buy some shoes. That's good. If you felt like I needed them, I just use this for an example. I've got shoes. But I could live so much that you wouldn't even see the need of shoes. You'd see other needs in my life. Praise God. Let's pray. Let's pray. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.
Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, God, lead us to the depths that we haven't been. Take us to mountain mountaintops we've never walked on. Help us, Lord, to be more interested in spiritual things than we are natural things. Help us to be more interested in rejoicing and praise, glorifying God than we are in talking and gossiping and doing the things that are edifying to one's fleshly self. Help us, Lord, to glorify you in spirit and in truth. Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Lift your
hands. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Let's sing a chorus together. Everybody worship Him. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory.